We're back here on the field with Robert Drummond, NFL, CFL, and Syracuse University alum, here with Dan Satora, as always, on WakeUpCallDT.com, part of Dan Satora Broadcast Media, here on WakeUpCallDT.com. Once again, Rob, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, Dan?
I'm doing very well, and happy to have you here. I didn't ask you this, and I got to ask you, going back, because we had talked about it a little bit here and didn't say too much, but Valentine's Day, did you get to do anything special for Valentine's Day?
Yeah, I got to leave people alone, which is what I wanted to do. It's a multi-billion-dollar day, so I just leave people alone, you know? So
maybe you should come out with something like that, maybe some type of Valentine's Day garb where athletes can wear it. You can make some money off of it.
Hey, possibly. That's a thought.
But I appreciate having you here, and a lot of things have happened since the last time that we've talked. Obviously, the combine went on for a few of the Syracuse's guys, Shamarco Thomas, Ryan Nassib, Alec Lemon, and Justin Pugh. Looking at these four guys, what did you see from the combine from what you were viewing here? You know, what did you see from them that you liked? Who stood out to you?
You know, all the guys really held their own basically in the combine. But I have to say, who stood out really was Shamarco Thomas. You know, it's for the simple fact that he just basically went out there, and from somebody who we were talking about earlier, who I read a story about at the beginning of this year, where his mom passed away, his father was murdered, things like that, or that situation, you know, I can feel for him and I can understand what he's playing for. You know, he has a purpose on why he's playing. Whenever he steps onto that field, there's a reason behind why he steps onto that field. And it's just that now he has the weight of the world on his shoulders, and he wants to be that strong individual, that strong person to go out there and be the best person, be the best athlete, to be the best football player he possibly can be. And when he went out to the combine and had that amazing sprint, an amazing vertical jump, he just went out there and just did the things that naturally come athletically to him. But now he put heart and soul behind him, and that's what showed up. And I think he's really, 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 I don't think, I know, he really, really impressed the scouts, and he's going to move up to on the draft board to the point where he may go in the first or second round.
When you have someone in his position where your father and your mother have passed away, when you are not necessarily, you know, when you don't have those close-knit relationships in your life, does the game of football become easier? I mean, you were in a position where your father, your father's life was taken here, and, you know, does it make those things more trivial or easier to you because you faced such a tough thing in your life that was bigger than football?
You know, personally speaking, I can't say how he feels, or but I can understand. It makes the game easier, and by easier, I mean it makes playing the game with emotion that much easier. So if you can go out there and play with rage, you can play with anger, you can play with everything that you feel so bad it just makes you mad, but you can play with it controlled, that makes for a special athlete, that makes for a special player. Those are the great ones you see. It's the ability to be able to go out there and get all the adrenaline and all the anger and frustration and rage you have in your body and go out there and just play the game of football. You know, I call it controlled rage. You know, it's the greatest energy you can have as an athlete. And it allows you to be able to go out there, just relax, and just do something, because now you're not playing the game for the purpose of yourself and what you love to do as a kid growing up. You're playing for others also. Like me, once my father was murdered, every time I went out there, I mean, I went out there to prove to him that I wanted to go out there and just be the best person I possibly could be, because now he was inside of me, you know, and he was watching me play. He was there along with me, and that was the biggest inspiration in the world. And that's what young athletes go out there who hear stories about. This same thing with Ray Rice, you know, his father being killed and things of that nature. You go out there and see a young man like that play the way he plays, you know, there's always a reason behind them playing like that, you know, and there's always a story. But it's a great story, and it'll be fun to watch going forward with this young man's future.
I was thinking before the combine, maybe fourth round, third at the highest. Now he gets the attention of a guy like Deion Sanders. He gets the attention of the crew at NFL Network when the man is out of 60 DBs is running as fast as he is. One of the statements made was, you know, this isn't the wide receivers that we're watching here. This man, his strength, what he's able to do strength-wise, what he's able to do in his vertical jump, what he's able to do when he's on the field running, everything that he brings, you put him up into the first or second round. What makes you confident that he makes that jump? Because I, from some, was looked at as crazy as putting him in the third round. Now you're putting him up a little bit higher, which I don't deny, because of what I've seen and because of who I know he is. But even more so at the combine, when he goes up against people from all over the country and makes statements like he made, you put him up in the first or second, and why is that? What's the main reason why you've done that?
First of all, he's a physical specimen. You know, second of all, from deep inside, if I'm a general manager, I look at an athlete, I say to myself, it's like, you know what, this young man's never been in trouble or anything of that nature, but this young man has something to prove. You know, to lose both parents, one violently, you know, and still be able to, you know, to adapt and play a game and not go into resolve or go into depression and things of that nature and just love to go out there and play the game, you know, it says a lot about this young man. Thirdly, he will go in the first round. Because I sit here and say, you know, I get to sit back and go through the lures of SU Sports. He's better than Donovan Darius, and he's better than Tabucky Jones, and both of them went in the first round. He's bigger, he's stronger, he's faster, he's more athletic, and they both went in the first round. This young man's going to be turning a lot of heads once he gets to the NFL. And as I said before, he's playing for his mother and his father. He may not tell you that. I can tell.
When you see him on the field and you see him playing, is there any area that you want to see him do better at? Because one of the things that I can say that I've seen before, and not so much this past season but the season before, is obviously he has the ability to hit you hard and he has speed. Mm-hmm. And so, but it was the direction of that speed. And what I mean by that is he could get to the backfield first running a straight line, but if the running back is to make a move, it was hard for him to adjust his speed while he was in motion to be able to make that hit. Has he gotten better there? Is there another area you want to see him work with? What is it about Shamarco Thomas that you want to see?
You know, he still needs really work in his lateral movement. You know, when I looked at his combine numbers, you know, it's fast, first in the 40-yard dash, a vertical jump was explosive, so he's explosive. And these are things I do all day, so I understand these numbers. You know, and his bench press was strong, but then I started to look at his three cone drill, his short shuttle, or some of the other change of direction drills he did, and he wasn't anywhere near the top. Where the other ones, he was either the top or second or third. So it lets me know that, you know, he needs to work on his lateral movement a little bit more, and that's something that definitely he can work on here, and he realizes he needs to work, you know, needs to get done. But that's something I would have Shamarco work on if I were his trainer. I would just sit here and talk to the young man and tell him he needs to get better at. But that's something that's not going to hold him back. I think he'll do well. In the upcoming pro days for Syracuse. I'm not sure when Syracuse pro day is, but it's pretty.
The 7th,
it's pretty soon, you know. But it'll be interesting to see him go out there and now have one-on-one time with these college coaches. And I think, these pro coaches. Once these pro coaches get to meet this young man, get to talk to this young man, and see this young man move, and see that he's committed to going out there and being the best player he possibly can be, they're going to be impressed.
The other guys at the combine, Alec Lemon at wide receiver, Justin Pugh at offensive tackle, and Ryan Nassib at quarterback. What can you say about them? And let's start with Alec Lemon. Did you have an opportunity to see him? Obviously, he told me of anything that he could do better, mm-hmm. first and foremost, is speed, and he wasn't at the top.
No, he wasn't at the top of the 40-yard dash. But you know what? Jerry Rice ran a 4.7, a 4.8 at the combine also, and we all know the history about him. You know? So Alec's the type of player, you know, just goes out there, and he's just a playmaker. You know, he's having fun when he's out there. He's not a player who wants to shy away when the bright lights are on him. You know, he's willing to make that catch or drop that catch. He doesn't care. He just goes out there, and he's a ferocious and fierce player. I can see him being like a Wes Welker type, just goes out there and gets in the middle of the slot where he doesn't need all the speed in the world, but he's very hard to cover because he understands wide receiver position. He understands how to get open. So he's definitely a player who's going to impress. I think he'll go mid-round, you know, because of the speed. You know, unless he can go on pro day and get his speed down. Into a 4.5, 4.6 range because he didn't run that well at the combine, you know. But that's okay, you know. Football's not a track meet. And I always tell people that, you know, it's great to have speed. That's an added bonus, but it's not a track meet. You want a player who can go out there, who understands the game, who understands how to get open and can make plays, and that's Alec Lemon.
Yeah, because you look at speed, and if it was just based on speed, then you would have this Usain Bolt.
Oh, Usain Bolt. He'd be the greatest receiver of all right now.
Yeah.
The same Bolt would get broken in half in the NFL.
Yeah, because you look at speed, power, agility, and the mentality to go out there and play the game. Because a lot of these guys, and I remember talking with Mike Thomas, who was on the Jacksonville Jaguars at the time, and I remember asking him, he was the third receiver on the team at that time. And I remember saying to him, you know, you go across the middle, and he's like the same height as me, 5'7", 5'8", range. And I said, you know, you're fearless. So there's a lot of guys that would go across the middle and would be afraid to get hit. Maybe they don't go across the middle because of that. So I said, why would you do something like that? Why are you unafraid? And he looked at me, he said, that's what I got these big muscles for. You know, he looked at me and said, he knew that's how he was going to make his money.
Yes.
Because so many people when they go across the middle, they know out of anywhere else on the field, I'm going to get hit as a receiver,
yes,
almost guaranteed.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm on the outside, maybe I can get away with it. But this smaller guy was unafraid to get hit, and it seems like Alec Lemon, especially from, you know, when you go back and watch film, mm-hmm, he has no problem catching across the middle,
no fear,
like what a tight end would normally,
mm-hmm,
do.
I mean, he has no fear. I think people truly don't understand the mentality of what it takes to be an offensive player, you know, in a collegiate Division I, any kind of sport, football. It's to line up, especially, I mean, I'll just talk for, I mean, I play wide receiver also. To know you have to run, say, a 5-yard in route, you go 5 yards, or a slant route, you're running a 5-yard slant route, and to know there's a 6'3", 225-pound guy with rippling muscles bearing down on you, and you can't see him, you have to catch that ball, and he's going to hit you as hard as he can, and do that 60, 70, 80 times a game, I mean, that takes a lot of courage.
Yeah.
You know, for guys to sit there and do that play after play after play, and understand that that's their job, that's what they want to do to get on the field, I mean, it takes a lot, it's a testament to, you know, to that type of athlete, and that's the type of athlete Alec Lemon is.
Ryan Nass, a guy that obviously had a very good relationship with Ryan, with Alec Lemon on the field and off the field.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan in the combine is stated as the fourth best quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Where I want to go with you first is the number one quarterback that everyone's been talking about since the end of the New Era Pinstripe Bowl, which doesn't make sense to me, is as soon as that game was over and a few hours passed, recapping the game, the majority of the footage was of West Virginia, despite,
yeah,
the loss, and the majority of the conversation was, where's Geno Smith's draft stock? But nothing, zero, after the game on Ryan Nassib, on what he did, on his ability, on how many records he's broken. Do you buy into Geno Smith translates better to the NFL, or do you think that Ryan Nassib has been a little bit understated?
I think Ryan Nassib would be the next Tom Brady. I've said that 3 years ago when I was at a practice. Coach Marone invited me to a practice, and I was up there watching him, and I really didn't know much about him. He was a younger player back then, and I saw this young man from the wide field to throwing it across the field, throw 20 yards out on a rope. And I turned at the time, Coach Bob Pasulo. I looked at Bob Pasulo. I said to him, "That guy's going to be a star in the NFL one day." And he's like, "That's Ryan Nassib. That's our young quarterback. You know, he's got a cannon for an arm." I was like, that's an unbelievable. I mean, I've played in the NFL and I've seen the arm strength of quarterbacks, and that kid has an arm that's just unbelievable. And right now, he's got the confidence. He's got what I call the swag to be able to just go in there and just, like, you know, he's a very, very smart, intelligent kid. So once he gets in the NFL style pro system and just starts learning from the tutelage from pro personnel up there, the kid's going to be unbelievable. He truly, truly is. I think his upside is off the charts. And, I mean, general managers, they see that and they understand that and they know that. Geno Smith is just, you know, he doesn't have that strong of an arm. You know, he can make plays when he needs to make plays, but look what happened against him in Syracuse. You know, when he couldn't run, what happened? He couldn't throw the ball either. You know, so,
yeah,
you know, he's not very good at playing, you know, in conditions, even being from West Virginia where it's cold all the time. Because I don't know if he was cold that Syracuse game or not, but he got dominated. That doesn't translate well. You know, and he didn't do that well at the combine. You know, so they can say what they want. You know, he had the big, I think he had the big name or the big push behind him because he had Heisman numbers at the beginning of the season, but then that all tallied off.
Yeah.
You know, anybody can be good at the beginning of the season, as you well know. Anybody either up there for the running for the Heisman doesn't correlate to being a good quarterback in the NFL. We can go down a list of names, you know, of guys who,
yeah,
won the Heisman and didn't fare well in the NFL. But I think Ryan Nassib, before it's all said and done, will be the best quarterback coming out of this draft class, you know, going forward.
And when you look at this class, you look at Geno Smith and you also look at Matt Barkley,
mm-hmm,
who I said before, even going into the game against USC and especially coming out of the game, that Ryan can go toe-to-toe with Matt Barkley, because all Barkley really was, and I know a lot of people at USC are going to go against me on this one, but without Robert Woods and Marquise Lee, Matt Barkley is an average quarterback. Who, you know, he didn't dazzle you with his running ability. He didn't dazzle you with his arm strength.
No.
USC is a speed system.
Yes.
So without two fast wide receivers that are going to help him out, or at least one fast wide receiver, it doesn't look like Barkley's going to translate. He's coming off an injury. He doesn't throw at the combine. Geno Smith, to me, is a good quarterback when he's playing bad defenses.
Yes.
But Ryan Nassib has seen a little bit of everything and has only gotten better as each year has progressed.
Right.
And his numbers, better than Marvin Graves, better than Donovan McNabb. My belief is that Donovan had a long stint in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ryan will, at bare minimum, match that stint.
Oh, I agree. I mean, it's like going back to Barkley. I mean, I could be, you know, drafted as a quarterback, throwing it, you know, to the two receivers they had out there at USC. It's like, are you kidding me? They both were going to first or second round. Give me a break, you know. I mean, whereas Nassib's best receiver probably would go like mid round, Alec Lemon. But it's like, you know, a good quarterback makes his receivers better. You know, it's not the other way around. You know?
Yeah.
And a good quarterback like Nassib understands that and understands the game. It's going to be a very, very interesting, after the draft, interesting career for these young men. It'll be fun to watch. It'll be a lot of fun to watch.
And I think that, you know, what we're saying here makes perfect sense to me, that a Robert Woods and a Marquise Lee go high in the draft, mm-hmm. where a Barkley, to me, would drop to a fourth round.
Correct.
And the opposite for Nassib and Lemon, because Nassib made his receivers better, like you stated. And, you know, Marcus Sales is another guy who at Pro Day is going to go out there and try and show himself and get a place because he wasn't at the combine. But this disrespect, this chip on your shoulder, to me, this helps Ryan, because he's in a place right now where no matter what he's done, he was at Syracuse, he wasn't at USC, he wasn't at Ohio State, he wasn't at a Michigan, he wasn't at a Florida, for the national coverage to be on him. Yet the man goes to work, and one thing that I heard from a scout that actually came to see him during the season is that Ryan Nassib can't run. Mm-hmm. However, Ryan in that game ran the ball numerous times against Louisville and Teddy Bridgewater. It ran so many times in that game, was so successful in that game, got first downs in that game, and the scout actually left at halftime, and he only got better after the half.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, I feel like even watching Ryan, a lot of these people are missing out on what he is, and I feel like he's not respected for every element of his game, but I'm hoping that a team takes him that is going to give him the opportunity to grow and the opportunity to learn and the opportunity to see what Marone had said, that nobody he's ever met understood an offense at Syracuse like Ryan did.
No, right. From Nassib being at Syracuse was really never on a national stage. Now he's got something to prove. No, so he's up there with the big boys now, you know. I mean, I can remember myself being in Syracuse. Yes, we were good, but me also being compared to, you know, I was, I think the fourth rated running back coming out of my senior class, you know, and the only reason I pushed on because there were a few juniors that came out, you know, Barry Sanders, Sammy Smith, and Bobby Humphreys all came out as juniors, you know, so when I was like, you know, but it was for not being recognized nationally to be compared now with guys like that, you know, made me feel good about myself and made me want to prove something, not just to other people, but to myself also. I was as good as I thought. And that's what Nassib thinks of right now. He won't say it, you know, and people don't understand that, but I get it because I was there before.
And when you look at Ryan and what he was able to do at Syracuse moving forward, the fact that he was involved in so many different offenses, mm-hmm. and that he got to see the hurry up, got to see the no huddle, and you see that this team, yeah, they struggled. They were 1-3 at the beginning of the season, had some issue. But to go from where they were at the beginning of the season to 6-2 after that,
yeah.
A quick learner in a new offense that was newly instituted, what does that do to help him, the fact that he's been successful in more than one offense, that he's had experience in more than one offense, and how fast he learned?
I mean, I think he's going to be very successful. It's just that here's the idea. You interject so many different offenses, so now his mind's forced to work that much harder to understand the game of football. His athletic IQ is through the roof. It truly is. Just from understanding the offense, just from understanding defensive coverages, defensive zones, you know, things of that nature, you know, knowing plays before they basically happen, almost a la Peyton Manning. Peyton can't run either. I'm telling you, Ryan Nassib will be the next Tom Brady. Remember I said that.
I will remember that. That's a big statement there. And Tom Brady was taken late. So.
Correct. Yes, he was.
The final guy is the man who has gotten national respect out of everybody that's involved, and that is Justin Pugh. He had the respect coming in. He had the respect going out of the combine. He was tied for fifth on Mayock's board for NFL Network as far as who's the top offensive tackle. The man didn't have a bad showing in his 40. Obviously, is a powerful guy. He very in tune with what he wants. He comes out early. He had another year of eligibility. What do you know about Justin that translates well? Because this is a guy that would have protected a guy like you.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Heart. That's it. When I look at Justin, when I saw him running, when I saw everything that come by him just playing, it's like, you know what? Yes, he was at a national stage, but it's great to see a tackle. And he'll convert to a tackle well because he's very athletic with a heart. Because, you know, you get a lot of tackles out there that just go through the motions, you know, just block a guy and then let it go. No, he's tenacious and he has heart. And that's one thing I always say, no matter how athletic you are, I don't care if you had a 50-inch vertical, you can run a 3-flat 40-yard dash, and you were one of the greatest athletes on this planet. If you don't have heart, you're not going to be successful in sports. If you don't have heart, you're not going to be successful in life. You know, Justin definitely has heart, and that's the one thing I think is going to carry him through. His athleticism is definitely going to put him in, you know, I think somewhere in the top rounds, I think, personally, because you need that offensive tackle basically as a stalwart, you know, of your offensive line. And he's someone who's definitely going to make a name for himself in the NFL going forward.
Justin Pugh, Ryan Nassib, who goes first?
I think Justin Pugh goes first.
First round?
First or second round. If he's still on the board after the second round, someone's getting a great deal, an unbelievable deal.
Well, there's a team that I covered for the last 4 years, the Jacksonville Jaguars, who need some help, and they have that first pick in the second round. So.
They need Jesus. There's no athlete on that board they need Jesus.
There you go. So they need to get Tim Tebow is what you're saying.
Yeah, them and my Eagles, both.
Apparently. Moving forward here, I think that's the quote of the year. Is it early in 2013? I think I'm going to give you that one. Jacksonville Jaguars has got that. They should put that on the stadium.
There you go.
We need Jesus.
If Jesus is quarterback, they'll win.
Jacksonville Jaguars, there you go. They have the second or first pick in every single round, so it's not like they don't have the picks to make it happen.
No, they definitely do. I mean, it'll be an interesting draft. I don't think this draft is as strong as it's been in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, but it's still an interesting draft.
And it's amazing how when you look at drafts and we talk about strength of drafts, mm-hmm. you look at the thousands of players that are trying to make it into less than 300 positions. And it's amazing to me when I hear somebody say it's not that strong when you compare it. I mean, obviously, when you look back at a Barry Sanders, you know, when you look back at classes that were really stacked, the classes that could put a bunch of quarterbacks in, you know, even last season's class, to put so many quarterbacks on the field as rookies in the NFL. When you look back at that, to me, I think every draft is strong because there's always going to be athletes and there's always going to be people you have to say no to. But at the same time, it amazes me to be in that position where you can say, you know, this is kind of a weak draft. But at quarterback, I see Ryan Nassib. I see, like I said, Geno Smith, who can't really play against good defenses. And in the Big 12, he flourished on an offense-versus-offense type of scheme. And then, you know, you look at a guy like Matt Barkley, who really hasn't shown anybody a lot lately, and it's not that he's a bad quarterback, but if you're putting his arm next to Ryan's, I think...
There's no comparison.
You know? So, you know, I can see it there where a class might be a little bit small, but it's very interesting. You're a running back as an alum. Is there any running back in this country that stands out to you more than anybody else? That obviously Syracuse doesn't have one in the draft, but is there somebody that stands out to you that you say, listen, if I was an owner, take this man?
Lacey from Alabama. Lacey from Alabama will be a superstar in the NFL. I mean, every intangible that converts to greatness in running backs, he has explosiveness, he has great eyes, he has great vision, cutback ability, he can stop on a dime, he has power, he has size, he has acceleration. I mean, he's Adrian Peterson in a bigger body. You know, he's not as violent a runner as Adrian Peterson because Adrian Peterson is in the class by himself. But the Lacey kid from Alabama is just, I mean, I watched him during that national championship game just against a very, very stout, good Notre Dame defense. He shredded him. He literally did. He was toying with him, you know. Guys got in front of him, he ran him over. Guys got alongside of him, he outran him. I mean, he cut on time, he cut back. It was fun to watch him play, you know. And it's just running backs like that come along very, very rarely. You know, he's going to be a special player in the NFL also.
So that's the one that sticks out
that's
to you.
That's the one that sticks out to me, big time.
Okay. Here with Rob Drummond, as always, and this completes our scouting portion here of Back on the Field every single week on Wake Up Call DT.com.